Are you glad you're here today? Amen. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Christ Church. Let me just talk to you, if you're a guest of ours, let me just say this without a reservation. You're in the best church in this city. Just that simple. Listen, I've been in church my whole life. I've been to places, and honestly, I've been to the places where, like, there was a big personality and lots of show and all that kind of stuff. But let me just tell you, after a while, and I love that stuff, but just let me tell you, after a while, you got to be in a place where people love you and take care of you and help you on your journey and help you move forward on your journey. I mean, it's an important thing because not everything's going to always be great. Can somebody say amen? You know, not like there's going to be some tough days and you're going to need somebody there that's going to help you. And let me just, if you're a guest of ours, just kind of hear what's going on here at Christ Church a little bit. Like, we have some families that have been walking through some really hard stuff over the last couple of weeks. And we have a few folks that have been diagnosed with cancer. And just last week, did I see Jim and Ruth come in? There you are, right down front here. Just last week, they had a 39-year-old beautiful daughter that was killed in a car accident, and we did her funeral last week, and we love you, and we're praying for you guys. I love that you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. Give these guys a big hand for being in the house of the Lord today. Hey, and will you make sure that you love on them and take care of them? And that's really what we're supposed to do. Like, we're supposed to love on each other and take care of each other. And just to give some information out to our whole church here, we have a young lady in our congregation that's been a member of our church for 21 years when we were in the theater on Bumby Avenue. All the people that were in the theater on Bumby Avenue, let me hear you just say, hey. Yeah, there's a lot. I love you're still here. Yeah, very cool. 21 years ago. But there were three sisters that came, Jabetsi, Setsky. Setsky usually comes in this service and sits right back there. She also goes by Denise. And Lisa, Liz Murray is her name, and a lot of us called her Lisa. But a few years ago, they diagnosed Lisa with cancer, and she's been through a lot of processes and walked through some hard things. Just beautiful. When I say beautiful, a beautiful young woman. And early 40s, has a 17-year-old daughter. And every time I would go to visit her in the hospital or talk with her, and she's gone through bone marrow treatment, bone marrow transplant, and chemo a couple of times. Every time I went to talk to her, man, she inspired my faith so much. Like, it didn't matter what she was walking through. She would just, honestly, I'd go in and she'd lift me up. And I'm like, hey, this is backwards, you know? But she was like, whatever. Like, I believe God's going to heal me. And if he doesn't, I'm going to go see Jesus. And this last week, on Tuesday, she went to see Jesus. And it's been an honor to be a part of her life and a part of her family. And her family's such a great family of faith. And there's going to be a viewing here tonight for her family. And it's going to be at 6 o'clock this evening. And then tomorrow morning, there's going to be a service at 10 o'clock. And so can I be a pastor for just a couple of minutes here and say, I'm asking you guys that when people in our church walk through trouble, like when they walk through heartache, can you just get near them? Let me just say, I like Facebook. How many knows, like, Facebook friends are not real friends? And can I say, like, Facebook hugs are not real hugs? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll take one real hug over 10 Facebook hugs any day. And so, so when we're here, like, this is really what church should be like, that when somebody walks through hardship, that we're there with them. So I'm going to ask you, you know, tonight at 6 o'clock, there we'll be here. And then tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, if you can be here for the viewing tonight or the service tomorrow morning, your faith will be inspired by this family, I can tell you. And then what you sow into other people's lives, you receive back in your own. And sadly enough, and this is not my sermon, so just kind of bear with me. Sadly enough, in our society, we try to tell families that when there's a funeral, that 30 or 40 people is a big funeral. And, like, I want Christ Church family to be family. Like, I want us to be there for each other so that when someone's hurting, that we're there. Like, and you don't have to have a lot of wisdom and you don't have to have a lot of words, but man, just to show up and sit with someone. There have been so many times in my life, like if I've walked through heartache, I don't need somebody to come in and tell me anything, give me a scripture, a word from the Lord. You know what I need you to do? I just need you to sit sometimes just in the room with me. Just sit there and be quiet and just let me know you're there. And so whether you can be here tonight or tomorrow, will you end the days ahead? Just put that kind of into your, this is a part of what Christ Church culture looks like, okay? Will you look at the person sitting next to you and say, you're going to love this church? Yeah. We're going to love you. Amen. Okay, I'd like for you to turn with me to John the 5th chapter. And John the 5th chapter, and this is a story that many of us have heard many times. It's a pretty famous passage, and I'll be as brief about this as I can, but I just felt like the Lord really put this in my heart for today. And this is one of the weeks where, like, I don't have a message series, and I was actually looking at doing some other stuff and had some other things on the agenda, and I felt like just this week, like this was, like the Lord said, nope, this is the direction you're going to go. And so maybe you've been in a place in your life, and I know many times there have been a place in my life where I feel like something's not moving, like I'm stuck. And it's sometimes it has to do with the circumstances around me, but sometimes it's something inside of me, like there's an internal issue that I'm dealing with. There's something that I thought I would have had victory over by now. One of the things that I've said many times that when birthdays roll around, I've said this many times, like I thought that I'd be more mature by the time I reached this age, you know? Like I really thought I'd have, you know, and I know you're sitting back there saying you're still young and you have plenty of time. Thank you. And so, but there are some times when it feels like I end up like dealing with the same thing. And you go like, am I ever going to get past this place? And maybe sometimes there are things that take place and they put an imprint on your psyche and they put an imprint on your spirit. And it seems like they put you in that spot. And it's almost like you're frozen in time and you can't get past that. You become that. You become the divorced person. You become the bankrupt person. You become the person whose business failed. You become that person who has a child that's wayward. You become that, and like no matter what takes place, even sometimes after the circumstances change, like in your mind, you are stuck in that place. And so today, I think that there are some things that Jesus says in this story that I think can maybe help us move forward. John, the 5th chapter, starting in the first verse. Now, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Jesus was heading in, and we don't know what feast it was, but Jesus is heading into Jerusalem for a religious feast. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. So get the idea that Jesus is heading into town, and he has a purpose why he's heading into town. And as he's heading into town to go to one of the festivals, one of the Jewish festivals, he takes a journey to another spot first. And it's always like that with me as far as I'm concerned. Like Jesus, he has a big plan that he's working on. There's a big thing that he's working on. These festivals were big, but he never got beyond seeing the small stuff. He never got beyond seeing the individuals. Like it didn't matter how big the crowd was, he saw the people. Somebody said to me years ago, they said they left the church where they were because if they felt like the pastors loved the crowd, but they just didn't love the people. And sometimes it feels that way. And let me just tell you, I love the crowd. I love people to show up, but you're important to me. Like you. You're important to me because you're important to God. And wherever Jesus went, like the crowds followed him, but he always found the person. Like there's a crowd and people are out calling out to Jesus and there is Zacchaeus up in the tree. And guess who gets Jesus's attention? Zacchaeus. They're in a crowd and he's on his way to the house where he's going to heal the centurion's daughter. And yet when he's on the way, The woman touches him and he pays attention to the one woman. He always seems to be paying attention to the one, even though he can address the crowd. And so Jesus has a big deal that he's gone to one of the festivals, and now he stops because he sees something that he has to kind of deal with. And so verse number three, here a great number at this pool of Bethesda, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Everybody say here. Here at this place, there's a location, there's a spot, like there's a geographical spot here at this place. It is known that people are there who are hurting. It is known that people are there that are disabled. It's known that people they have been disenfranchised. They're not a part of culture. They're not a part of society. They have a different identity. They're there in that spot, and that spot is marked for them. They're all together, and they're paralyzed. And here at that place, they're blind. Here at that place, there are people that are hopeless. Some of us have been to that place. Some of us are at that place. Some of us have been the hopeless, and some of us have been the paralyzed. Some of us have been addicts. Some of us have been bitter. Some of us have been liars. Some of us have been adulterers. Some of us have been cynical. Some of us have been unbelievers, and we were stuck there in that spot. That's our here. That's our pool of Bethesda, where we identify with other people who are stuck in the same kind of spot where we are here in that place. And this passage says that man was stuck there for 38 years. 38 years. Here, a great number of people were disabled and used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And there was one who had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. Imagine the mentality, like what happens to a person after they've been stuck for 38 years. They begin to alter their reality around that circumstance. They begin to alter their worldview around that. They begin to think that everything in the world revolves around that place because they can't see the rest of the world. They can only see their place. They can only see their paralysis. They can only see what put them there. They can only experience that. And so consequently, then they read the rest of the world from that place. And so this man, 38 years of knowing that he doesn't have a job, he's never going to have a job, 38 years, he doesn't have a family probably and won't ever have a family. He's never going to be like a really productive member of society. 38 years, he's given up hoping. He's given up dreaming. He's given up all of the aspirations that a man would have. He's given all of those things up, and he's resigned himself to the place that this is all it is. That this is all my life is ever going to be. That this is the place where I'm paralyzed. That this is the place where I'm going to have to stay. 38 years, he had been an invalid for 38 years when Jesus saw him lying there. And Jesus learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Now, there are three things that as Jesus approaches this man, I paid attention to three phrases. This is a brief story. Three phrases that Jesus says to him, and Jesus has the power to heal. We know that. But Jesus doesn't want to just heal. Jesus wants to bring wholeness to his life. Many times what we want God to do is we want him to change the circumstances that we're in, but we don't necessarily want him to address the circumstance in our heart that would put us back there. We don't want to address the stuff in our heart that makes us feel crippled. We don't want to address the things that make us feel like this is all there is ever going to be. We don't want to address the things that are making us hopeless, maybe the things that got us to that place. We just want him to fix the circumstance. This is one of the things that I've observed. There are a lot of people that they want Jesus to show up in their marriage when their marriage is bad. And then once their marriage is bad, they don't actually continue on to follow Jesus and get fixed the stuff in their heart that put them in a bad marriage to start with. There are a lot of people that they get involved in bad relationships and they're like, look, just pray for me that the Lord will help me in my relationship. Pray for me that the Lord will help me on my job. Pray for me that the Lord will help me in this circumstance. And then like the Lord shows up and does something. And yet the problem with it is there's still an internal thing that's taking place. There's a worldview. There's a perspective down underneath all of that that actually is the greater problem. And so Jesus shows up and he wants this man not just to be healed, but he wants him to be whole. Listen, Jesus doesn't just want to fix your finances. He doesn't want to just give you a better job. He doesn't want to just like give you a better marriage. And he wants all of those things. Are you with me today? He doesn't want you just to have those things. He wants you to be whole down on the inside. Because even if he gives you those things and you're not whole, you know what you'll do? You'll just turn those back to the pool of Bethesda and end up crippled in the future. And so here Jesus, he shows up in this process and he asks him a question. Are you ready? He saw this man that was lying there. And I love, like, where whatever you're there is, like wherever you are and it's here, for Jesus, it's there. Like you're here and like Jesus is there. And he's like, he's going to come to there where you are. But listen, he's coming to there where you are. In that brokenness, in that hurt, in that pain, in that circumstance that seems to be so difficult and it seems like it won't ever end, Jesus is coming there where you are. And Jesus goes directly to that place. And he talks to this man in his there. He talks to that man in his state. And here's the first thing he says to him. Do you want to get well? You have to decide. Do you want to get well? You have to decide, do you want this to get better? And not just do you want the circumstances to get better, do you want to get better? It's a pretty serious question, because here's the deal about this is, like, you might say, well, of course he wants to get better. He's lived for 38 years in this place. For 38 years, he's made his living in that place. For 38 years, he's gotten comfortable in that spot. He's learned to adjust his world to that spot. For 38 years, he eventually got okay with where he was. Do you want to get well is a real question. Like, do you want to get past where you are? Do you want wholeness? Do you want to get to the future that God has for you? I heard a story years ago, and there was a, back in the day when we used to pray for a lot of people, and a lot of people would be healed, and like there was a story, this is a story, guys, that a preacher was praying for several people down front, and he came to a blind man, and he said, we're going to pray for you, and the Lord's going to heal you. Prayed for the blind guy, and the blind guy got healed. And next he came down to a deaf man and prayed for the deaf guy, and the deaf guy was healed. And he went to pray for the third guy, and the third guy said, don't pray for me. If you pray for me and I get healed, I'll lose my disability. Okay, so here's the deal is for some of us, we don't know what life would look like if he heals us. Like, we wouldn't actually know what life would look like if he made us whole. And so sometimes we just get so okay with not being whole that we are okay with staying where we are. So the question is, do you want to change? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be the person God intended you to be? If not, you'll live your life as the victim. You'll live your life as the one who is divorced. You'll live your life as the one who has failed. You'll live your life as the middle child. You'll live your life as the one who never got picked, or as the single parent. You'll live your life identifying as the adopted one. You'll live your life identifying yourself as the abused one, or the poor one, or the person that was outcast. You'll live your life as that identity unless you decide, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't want to live my life in this position. So what would it be like if your life changed? Like, many of us, like, we've so associated with something for so long that it's become our identity. And we don't even know who we'd be if we weren't that anymore. Well, like, we don't know who we'd be if we weren't the hurt one. It's fed us so long. We don't know who we'd be if we weren't the rejected one, because it's fed our emotions so long. Who would we be? And you have to ask yourself, do you want to get well? Because if you want to get well, there's hope for you. Sir Isaac Newton, in the first law of motion, he states this: everything continues in a state of rest until it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Everything stays right where it is unless there's a force that's greater than the weight or the mass of that thing that can move it to a new place. I don't know about you, but like I follow Facebook and Instagram, and I love seeing stuff on there. Let me just tell you, I do not follow Pinterest. Like, honestly, I'm not really a Pinterest kind of guy. Are there Pinterest kinds of guys? I'm not going to go on there and look at bouquets of flowers and, you know, but occasionally somebody shares something. I think this was shared off of Pinterest. That's why. And it was an interesting thing. And I kind of caught this and started thinking about this. And here's what the statement, it was one of those memes or a statement. And it said this: nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Like in your marriage, nothing changes if nothing changes. Like in your finances, nothing changes if nothing changes. In your job, in your personal perspective, in who you are, in the way you view yourself, nothing will change. And that's, on some level, like that's a really cool thing to kind of grab onto. And like, so you realize like things don't change unless a force comes along to change. But then I got to thinking about this. There's actually a step past that. That nothing changes if nothing changes. There's a step past that, that really, if nothing changes and nothing changes in you, the world still changes. The world's still moving forward. There are things that are changing around you, and if you stay in the same behavior where you are, the truth is you're gonna end up actually losing ground. Let me put it this way. If nothing changes and you continue to do the same thing, nothing changes and you eat 3 donuts every morning for breakfast. Let me just tell you, you could say nothing changes if nothing changes and you know, you'll just be, no, the truth is there's a change coming for you. You better have some medical insurance because the world's moving forward, like things are still happening, and you're going to end up needing to go see a doctor. Nothing changes. Yeah, that's true on some level, but the truth is, if you don't fix the stuff in your marriage, the truth is, it's just going to get worse. It's not going to stay static. It's not going to stay where it is. If you don't change where you are financially, if you just keep the same spending habits and no savings habits, if you don't, like, honestly, if you don't invite God into your finances, the truth is it you could do the same stuff and make no change, but you'll actually end up maybe in a worse place. You'll max out your credit cards and somewhere down the road, you might end up in debt and have to file bankruptcy if nothing changes. If nothing changes and like you have no goals on your job, if you're underachieving and your boss talks to you and eventually he's not going to just roll his eyes at you. Eventually you're going to get a pink slip because like things continue to get worse if nothing changes. So in our lives, we have to start to ask ourselves, do we want this to get better? And let me just kind of talk to church people for a second here and say, I've watched people come to church week after week. I've pastored this church 21 years now. I've watched people come to church and they come to church and they're faithful and they're here. But the truth is they listen to the messages and then they go home and nothing changes. Like absolutely nothing in their life changes. Their behavior doesn't change. The way they think doesn't change. Their conversation doesn't change. And even worse than that, what's on the inside of them hasn't changed. And the truth is, after you've done that for so long, you just become more of whatever that is. Like if you were bitter, you'll be more bitter. If you were angry, you'll just be more angry. If you were selfish, you'll just be more selfish. So something has to change. Years ago, and I know I still have a membership to LA Fitness. Anybody remember when, some of you are like, that must have been many years ago. But I used to have a membership to LA Fitness. And then I got a personal trainer one year because I'd been working out. And I'd go 3 or 4 times a week. And I didn't feel like I was moving forward. And so finally, I hired a personal trainer. And he was like, okay, this is stuff you're going to have to do. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to do more cardio. And honestly, I'm not happy about doing legs. And I don't want to do back. And sit-ups are not my favorite thing. And so he was like, well, you know, this is where you're going to be. Like you're not going to end up looking like you want to look or being healthy like you want to. He said, look around the gym. There are people, and this is an observation. There are people around the gym. They go to the gym a couple of times a week. And he said, even though they're there and they're present, the truth is like they're talking to the people on the treadmill. You know, they're not actually doing anything. It reminds me of people in church. It's like, man, I'm showing up. But I'm not actually ready to leave where I am. I'm not ready to move forward. I'm not really ready to change my life and get more spiritual and become whole. I'm just willing to go and talk to the people that are. And so let me just challenge you today. The challenge is, do you want to get better? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to move forward? And Jesus sees him lying there. And today, Jesus sees you lying exactly where you are. He sees that place in your heart. And as he sees that place in your heart, he asks you the question, do you want to get better? Do you want to be made whole? And here's what the man does. He responds back with this response, and it's an interesting response. Do you want to get better? Verse number 7, sir, and I love that he's at least polite. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me. Here's what would take place. The reason why they gathered around this pool is because it was said that the angel of the Lord would come and trouble the water. And when the angel of the Lord would come and trouble the water, that whoever got into the pool first, the first one would get healed. And so he positions himself there, but then he says, but I can't because other people are in front of me, because other people are doing this. I'm still stuck where I am. And on some level, he starts to defer where he is to the responsibility of other people. Like, I'm here because of them. I'm here because they pushed ahead of me. I'm here because other people had an advantage. I'm still stuck here, and they've moved forward, and it's really their fault. It's their fault that I'm still in this place. It's my parents' fault that I'm stuck in this spot. It's my ex's fault that I'm stuck in this spot. It's my boss's fault. It's my teacher's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's my church's fault. It's somebody else's fault that I'm stuck in this place. And so today, let me bring this word to you. Stop making excuses. It doesn't matter what happened to you before this. The interesting thing about this story is Jesus, when he starts this whole conversation, it doesn't give us any history to this guy. It doesn't tell us how he got there. It doesn't tell us about his name. It doesn't tell us if he was in an accident. It doesn't tell us if he got sick. No details to the story. The story starts when Jesus shows up. And so today, listen, your story starts when Jesus shows up, and he's here today, and he wants you to answer the question, do you want to move forward? Are you ready to move forward from the place where you are? Then you might have to stop making excuses. And so he says, I don't have anyone. And Jesus says, stop making excuses. And here's what he tells him. This is the next thing he tells him to do. Then pick up your mat and begin to walk. Pick up your mat and begin to walk. Start to get ready to move in the direction of your future. What's the next thing that you have to do to move in the direction of your future? What's the next thing that you have to do to step away from where you are and where you've been stuck? That their place for you, that location, that place that's in your mind. What do you have to do to step away from that place and start to move to the place where God wants you to go? Pick up your mat and begin to pick up your mat today. pick up your mat. This is not your location anymore. This is not your address anymore. This is not your identity anymore. That is not who you are. God has a brand new place for you. He has a destiny for you. You are not that. That is not your history. In fact, the truth is, it's your future that God is concerned about. So today, pick up your mat. And the interesting thing, as he picks up his mat and he begins to walk, there are some people that criticize him. They're actually religious people, and they begin to criticize him and like, don't you know that it's a religious day? It's the Sabbath day. What are you doing walking on the Sabbath? Okay, let me just say this. There are some people in your life that when you begin to move forward, they will not be happy about it. There are some people that you call friends and family members that when you start to move into the new place that God has for your life, they're going to criticize you. And you might have to identify who are the people in your life that would be happy for you to stay right where you are. Who are the people that would be happy for you to stay broken? Who are the people that would be happy for you to stay in this identity, stay unforgiving? Because honestly, you see, it creates a place for them. Like they now have the opportunity to be the most important person in your life because you're broken and they're important. They might not be happy when you begin to move forward. But are you ready to get well? Are you ready to move forward to what God has for you? And then here's my last thing. This is the third statement. Jesus heals him and he begins to move forward. And then he's having this conversation with these religious people who are criticizing him and criticizing Jesus. And they're saying, like, who healed you? Isn't that interesting? This is one of my observations about this story is they say, who healed you? And why would he do it on the Sabbath? Wouldn't you rather have friends around you that are like, you're healed? You know, you're healed. Like, you're moving forward. Wow, yeah, that's awesome. Instead, they're like, who did this? Like, what's that all about? And so Jesus shows up in a few moments in verse number 14. And most of the time we end this story at that spot. Like he gets up and he walks, take up your mat and go home. But there's one more sentence Jesus does in it. And here it is, verse number 14. Later, Jesus finds him. I don't know when it is, an hour later, 2 hours later, 5 hours later, the next day, next week. But Jesus, he finds him at the temple and says to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now listen, Jesus isn't pronouncing a curse on him. Jesus isn't saying like you know, if you do this, here's the deal. What Jesus knows is there's consequences to our choices. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That like if you do something, there's a wage that comes with whatever your action is. And here's the deal is we don't know what the first portion of this story is, but somehow Jesus identifies in his heart, I've fixed your circumstances, but there's still something wrong in your heart. Like he can fix your finances, but if there's something wrong in your heart, if you don't learn, how many have heard the stories of the people that won the $450 million lottos and then 5 years later are bankrupt? You know what the problem is? Their circumstances got fixed, but their finances, the way they thought about money didn't. There are people that want God to fix their marriage. I always say this all the time, like people call us when their house is burning down. There are people that like, they're like, I want you to pray. Like we're having a big argument. Like he bought a gun, she bought a gun. And like, we're running around the house chasing each other with knives. And like, you're praying to somebody, do you have a good bell bondsman that we can call? You know, like, well, okay, come on. I mean, here's the problem with it is then we don't see him again until the next time their house is burning down. So you know what happens? Like their circumstances got fixed right now, but the issue is they still have a heart issue. That the thing that got them to that place the first time is going to take them right back to that place again. So today, like I'm asking you, do you want to get healed? Do you want to move up from the place? But even more importantly, do you want to be whole? Do you want to get away from that place and never go back to that again? Because see, it's not about changing the circumstance. It's about changing your heart. And I just think that quite possibly, maybe there's somebody here today that you've had something down inside. You've harbored it. It's become a part of who you are. And even though you go to church and even like you've gone to counseling or you've talked to friends and you've done all the stuff and you've joined a club and you've joined a group or you've done all of those things. And yet down inside of there, there's an identity, there's a brokenness that the Lord wants to heal. So today, I'm going to take a moment here and I'm going to pray for you. And if you're in this place today and you've never said yes to Jesus, the first thing he wants to, like, do you want a new life? Are you ready to move forward? And so I'm going to start praying there. Everybody, will you bow your head and close your eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for every person in this room. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place where we can meet with you. And you knew what was inside of us before we ever got here. And so now, Lord, I know you have a plan and a path for us. And the first thing is for us to meet with you. And so today, Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, we're going to pause just a moment and say, Lord, will you come into our hearts and change us? So every person in this room, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Will you repeat this prayer and just say yes to Jesus? Invite him in. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, repeat it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that he died on a cross. He gave his life so I could have an abundant life, so I could have a brand new life. So today I give Jesus my life and I receive his life. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I belong to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place today and you needed to pray that prayer and just like start this journey with God, I'm not going to embarrass you, but just so I can pray for you in the days ahead, if you just needed to pray that prayer today, could I see your hand right now? Just go ahead and put your hand up so I can pray for you in the days ahead. Yes, I see it. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yes, yes. Hands just gone up all over this room. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees it. Yeah, he knows where you are. Amen. Today was for you. Amen. If you just raised your hand, listen, a new life has begun for you. And with everybody's head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just raised your hand, please, just in the seat in front of you is a card. It says, I've made a decision to follow Jesus today. Will you just reach up there and take hold of that card? And then before the day's out, fill it out and then bring it down front here or go to the Starting Point Guest Center so we can help you get started on this journey. Will you let these folks that have raised their hand and said, I needed Jesus as Lord and Savior, will you let them know they made the best decision of their life? Come on, come on, come on. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me today and we're going to pray. There are some of you that you've known Jesus and you followed him, and yet there's places in your heart that whatever it is, like we revert sometimes if we don't like live in the spirit, like if we don't follow Jesus, we just think that we'll accomplish our life. We'll get to our destination just by our behavior, by the way we used to act before we knew Jesus. But that action just takes you back to the same place you were before you knew Jesus. And so today, there are some people that I think God wants to heal. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to give you a new identity. He wants to give you a new destination, a hope and a future, the Bible says. And so today, we're going to pray for a few moments, and we're going to sing a song. And can we have some prayer partners maybe that'll come down here? Some of you might want to come down with a prayer partner and have somebody to pray with you. And some of you might just need to spend some time in your seat with your hands raised and your eyes closed and just saying, okay, Lord, I got some stuff I need you to heal me from. But this morning, if you would like to have somebody pray for you, we have some prayer partners that are down front here. We're gonna sing this song. And as we start to sing, it's a prayer for all of us. Lord, get us to that place. I want to leave this spot and get to what you have for me. Anybody ready to move with me today? Are you ready to be healed? Amen.